Amen. What a blessing to be reminded as we think about songs that everybody knows of the fact that Jesus loves you. We know he loves us because he died for us. We know he loves us because he was resurrected for us. We know he loves us because today he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. And we're grateful for that, especially as we come into this Christmas season. I'm going to invite you to the second chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to, this is December 1st, so we're going to jump into the holidays in terms of our study in God's Word this morning. I want to say thank you for the privilege of getting to be here and share God's Word. And as the introduction was, we did retire at the end of 2018 in December of last year and have been preaching every time we have an opportunity and are asked at different places. Someone said, do you enjoy that? And I just have a, I want to have a sign made up that says, how Bible will travel. And so I am grateful for that opportunity. And even more than that, I want to thank Dr. Jerry Rankin for the privilege of standing here. I trust and I hope that you will be aware of the beauty of having Dr. Rankin and Ms. Bobby with you for a while. Dr. Jerry Rankin is one of the most godly men that I have ever met. I had the privilege of serving for 8 years on the International Mission Board when he was president there, and I got to know him well, and we've shared together since we've been in Clinton, and we're just excited about all that God will do through him as you prepare for your next pastor. Well, it's December 1st. What is the deal? There's 23 shopping days left of Christmas, right? Well, 24 if you count Flying J or Pilot. You know, you can go in there anytime and pick up something. But I hear the Christmas songs. We hear it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. We hear Winter Wonderland. We hear that famous, very moving Christmas song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. You know, all of those things keep coming to us as we prepare for the holidays. But you know, for some people, the holidays are not enjoyable. And the reason, I think, is that we seek to find our satisfaction in things that will not satisfy. We seek to find a sense of security in things that will not give us security. We look for special effects and special events to give us that oomph that we need to get us through the holidays. And yet, that's not going to find it either. So, as we search for satisfaction, where is it going to be found? How do you search for it? And what do you do with it when you find it? That's basically what we're going to be looking at in the passage this morning. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer for a moment, and we'll just dive right into God's Word. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being here in this place at this time. We know that where we're gathered in your name as the people of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you've promised to meet with us in the middle of what we do. We know you have promised the presence of your Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of God dwells within each of us who knows you as Savior. And so today, Father, let your Holy Spirit speak from the Word of God to our hearts and meet people today at their deepest point of need. We pray that we may be hidden by the cross, that we may be covered with your blood, that we may be led by your Spirit as we share these next moments together. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I'm reading in Matthew chapter 2. It's the story of the wise men, and we know that story. We know that there were three of them, and they stood at the manger when all the rest of the manger people stood. No, we don't know that. As a matter of fact, we know that that may not be exactly true. It says that they came later. We don't know exactly how later. We can imagine, if you look at Herod's message here, that it could be as much as 2 years later that they showed up. We know that Jesus was not at the manger because it says in our text he was in a house when they came to visit with him. But don't let that throw off your manger scene. Because the whole point as you look at the manger scene is you're looking at people who are coming to give worship and homage to Jesus Christ. Whether it be the lowly shepherds of the common or these magnificent astrologers and astronomers who came from a long ways off. You've got the common everyday shepherd, you've got the high intellect, and they're all kneeling at the foot of Jesus, which tells us everybody will kneel at the foot of Jesus. So that's exactly what the manger scene teaches us. And don't let that throw you off, because it may not have been exactly the time we think and all that kind of stuff. Let's read, beginning in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it's written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. And it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their country, their own country, in another way. Keep your scripture open, and we're going to just walk through this passage just a little this morning as we think about this idea of a search for satisfaction. The wise men, someone said, were dreamers. And they were dreamers who were rich enough to follow their dreams. They were influential, intellectual men. The scripture says they came from the east. Scholars say that could be Arabia. Scholars say that could be Persia. But the idea was they came from the direction where the sun came up. So in whatever country that was, that's the direction they came from. And they came with one intent. They wanted to see this king of the Jews. As we think about a search for satisfaction, that search takes on three approaches this morning. Here's the first one. Satisfaction will be directly related to what you seek after. Satisfaction will be directly related to what you seek after. The wise men came on their journey. The scripture says in verse 1 that they came, and the scripture says, as they came, they said, "Where is he that is born of the Jews? We have come to worship him." Now, came in verse 1, come in verse 2. Well, the strange thing about it is it's not the same word. Came means I took a journey. Always take the right journey. You'll never find satisfaction until you take the journey you're supposed to be on. Every one of us are on a journey. We started from the day we were born or before we were born. Jesus, the scripture says in Psalm that the Lord knows us. And everything about us, even before we were born. And so he started that journey, and he continues that journey to the day we die, and even after, as we stand in the presence of the Lord as believers and receive our gift and our rewards for what we've done for him. So there is a journey that you and I are on. In that journey, we find ourselves looking in different ways. The first word, came, in verse 1, is a common word about coming somewhere. It's about the idea of going somewhere. But in verse 2, it says they have come to worship him. And the word come there takes on a little different significance. They were on a specific journey to find him. The scripture, the word actually means they were set on a pattern. They were involved in a certain way. It is their intent and their desire to find this king of the Jews. That would produce for them the answer to the questions they had been having about his being born and the star that appeared, and all of the wisdom and astronomy and astrology that they worked with was all right there, all wrapped up in coming to Jesus. So it says that they took the right journey. The reason for your journey is very important. What is the reason for your journey? Why do you exist? What is your goal this Christmas season? To survive? Listen, we have 10 grandkids. 19 down to 5. We have disorganized chaos at our place during the holidays. And we have downsized to a smaller home, so it's even gotten a little more cramped because some of our family bring their 2 labs with them as they come. So we have 10 kids, 8 adults, 2 labs, and my sister comes in with us, and then one of the guy's girlfriends comes. So there are 20 people plus 2 labs. We have organized chaos. No. We have disorganized chaos. I don't know that it's organized. But the idea is we enjoy that time because it's family getting together. And for many people, the goal of the journey of the holidays is family. For some people, though, the goal of the holidays, of the journey, is to find out what's in that big box under the tree. Their goal is to find out what the present is. One of our grandkids said one time, I don't know, wonder who's going to get the big box this year. It seemed that he thought whoever got the big box got the best present from the grandparents. What journey are you on? What are you seeking? Are you seeking to win? I don't know about you. I do know about you. Every one of us have dysfunctional family members. Is that a good way to put that? Real truth is they're just crazy. You know, we know that. But the idea is that they're there. And sometimes our goal is to survive till we see their taillights going away. Everybody has those kind of people in their family. You can't ignore it. It's just true. What kind of journey are you on? These men said, we have one journey. We want to see the King of the Jews. On that journey, they asked the right question. Where is he? The word where is actually a word which means produce him for us. So they went to Jerusalem to Herod and asked the king, King Herod, to produce Jesus for them. And it's in a way in which, as you look at the language, it says, you show us Jesus. That's basically what it says, with that type of emphasis. Now, Herod is not really pleased with that. He's not pleased with that because these are men trying to order a king around. First of all, he's not pleased with that because there's another king on the scene, and he didn't like that. And we know what he did as a result of it. But they wanted to take the right journey. They wanted to ask the right question, where is he? They don't ask, where is it, meaning the presence. They don't ask, what will we have for lunch, meaning the table. They won't ask, what football game are we watching? They're not coming with those things to the Christmas table. They wanted to see Jesus. That was their centrality of thought. They lived in the right truth also. The word says we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. The idea of seeing is not just seeing with the eyes. It's a word which actually means we have seen with our eyes the star, but we have also perceived what that star means. The King of the Jews has been born. Perception means a lot. When you're looking for satisfaction and you try to find that satisfaction in a present or a position or a person, you're going to have to gain some sort of perception about that person. I don't know if you're a Hallmark movie fan or not, but Hallmark movies always have 3 things in common. They have 2 people that are drawn together by something that's a unique problem. they fall in love and they're going to live happily ever after, except there's something in the middle that happens that pulls them apart. And then at the end, they come back together and they solve the problem and they live happily ever after. That's a Hallmark movie. That's the way it works. So as we're thinking about that, sometimes that's what we do. We look for and they lived happily ever after. And as long as we think we have some form of happiness, we quit searching for the true satisfaction of our lives. And we miss it. Years and years ago, back in 1964, Reader's Digest had an article that has stuck around through the years that shares for us what it really means to be a wise man. It was written by a guy by the name of James Johnson, who was out of town on Christmas and Christmas Eve. He was invited by a friend, a co-worker of his, to come by and see the nativity scene and see the manger, live nativity scene at their church. He was lonely. He didn't have anything to do. He didn't know exactly what he was up to. He was a little bit bored. So he said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to go by the church and look at the nativity scene." What he ended up doing was when he got there, his friend came running out and said, "I'm so glad you came by. We're missing a wise man." One of the guys had gotten sick and couldn't show up. So suddenly he found himself dressed in a flowing robe, having a box in his hand and a crown on his head. And he was in the nativity scene. He said, "I tried my best during that hour and a half that they had me there to not shiver because it was cold. And I tried my best to keep looking at the manger because that's what they had told us to do." He said there was a doll in the manger. We didn't have a live person in the manger, but he said it represented for me something I had never noticed before. The centrality of Christmas, he said, was the babe born in the manger. He said it was the first time he had ever gotten it. He had lived for the thrills of Christmas. He had lived for the thrills of Christmas, but he had not ever lived for the Christ of Christmas. And he closed that article back in 1964 like this: "I forgot about the presents I had to wrap. Not once did I think of Santa. I stood in the cold under a starry sky with Joseph, Mary, and the infant Jesus. The babe in our manger was only a doll, but he became very real that Christmas Eve night. For an hour on Christmas Eve, I truly became a wise man." Our search for satisfaction, it begins with this idea of what are you seeking? And my question to every one of us is, December 1st, we're in the month of Christmas. There's a lot of things taking place. What are we truly seeking? But the wise men teach us not only that satisfaction is found in what you seek, but there's a second thing. Satisfaction is directly related to where you search. The scripture tells us in verses 3-8 or 9 that they came to Jerusalem and they saw the star. They came to Jerusalem. They met with Herod, and when they finished meeting with Herod, he sent them on to find the babe, and the star led them on till they came to Bethlehem. As we think about that in the scripture, we think about the fact that people look in a lot of different places for a lot of their satisfaction. Back in 1980, a guy by the name of Johnny Green, who was a country music artist at that time, wrote a song that nobody liked, but it became number one hit for about 6 weeks on the country music chart. And it was this: "Looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to find love in all the wrong faces." I don't remember all the rest of the song. I just remember those two lines. I don't know why I remember those two lines. Okay, but the idea is that it is a true statement. We've got places that we're looking for satisfaction in. We've got faces. We've even got graces. We try to bargain with God. "If you just let me get through this, I'll live in your grace from here on out." We look at those three things. If we're not careful, we find ourselves looking in the wrong place. So that satisfaction is only going to come when we know where to look? Well, in this text, there was only two ways to look at it. There was a human place to look, and there was a heavenly place to look. Let's look at the human first. I've always wondered why they went to Jerusalem. They were supposed to be following the star. Now, the question is, did the star stop in Jerusalem? By the way, there's not an answer to that question. We know the star was there when they moved on to Bethlehem, but we don't know. Most scholars believe, biblical scholars believe this. They believe that when the wise men left to go search for Jesus, they had in their mind to go to Jerusalem. Why? Well, Jerusalem was a place where there were palaces. Palaces are the normal dwelling places of kings. So it would be normal for these intelligent men, studied in astrology and astronomy, studied in biblical teachings, to go to a place where a king would be born, because the king of the Jews was being born. So, humanly speaking, it was obvious they needed to go to the palaces. But also, when you think about Jerusalem and the fact that Herod was there, these men may have had a political reason. Politics may have gotten in. Because you don't want to go as a visitor to another country without and look for another king without the blessings of the king that's there. That could be dangerous to your health. And with Herod, as volatile as he was in his personality and almost insanity at sometimes, it was easy for him to say, okay, off with their heads, and that was all it had to be. So it was politically right for them to go to Jerusalem. It was also something that I would say would be common courtesy to do that. And one king relating to another king and all the things that went along with that. So there's nothing wrong with these men going to Jerusalem. I just didn't know what happened to the star. And you won't find it anywhere in Scripture. It's just one of those things I ask questions about sometimes. But we do know that it stayed. It was there because it took them on to Jerusalem. I mean, it took them on to Bethlehem. So they went to search and they went to seek. And they were searching in human places, logically looking, realistically looking, practically looking, all of those things that you and I would say were a part of our humanity. When we're looking for satisfaction, we look in human places. We try to find relationships with other people to bring our satisfaction. We try to find a bank account to bring us satisfaction. We try to find the right gifts to give to others to bring us satisfaction. We even go overboard giving gifts to people to prove to them how much we care about them and how important we are in the scheme of things. That's all of the human reasons. A long time ago at a pastorate that I had early in my ministry, I had a young lady who loved to give gifts to people. It was such a problem, though, that she would actually get to the place where she would borrow money from her MasterCard in order to meet the qualifications and the debt of her Visa, because she had spent so much money on gifts for other people. And it took a long time before we were able to get to convince her that those things were things that she was trying to do in order to impress people, because she had grown up in bad circumstances. But in the process, she had a husband and two daughters who were almost being bankrupt in the midst of the situation, looking for and seeking for acceptance, seeking for recognition, seeking for love, all of these human emotions that you and I seek for. So many times we do that at Christmas. And we want to be satisfied by how people respond to us. And we miss the point of what are we searching for What are we seeking and where are we searching? Humanly speaking, will not satisfy. We go a step further, though, heavenly speaking. The scripture says they were led by a star. There was some sort of divine leadership to bring them to Jesus. Now, I'm not sure if we think about this at Christmas time or not, but when Jesus went back and was ready to go to the cross and was going back into heaven, he told his disciples what? I will not leave you alone. I will send to you another comforter who will abide with you forever. We know, because we have all of Scripture, that that comforter is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who lives within us to teach us, to remind us, to bring glory to Jesus through us. That is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that was a gift to us from Jesus Christ. As he went back into heaven, we were to be led by the Spirit of God. They were led by a star as a picturesque picture of following Jesus. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. I hope that in that you realize two or three things. You realize, first of all, that the Holy Spirit wrote this book. Men wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. And realize also that if you're a believer, you were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You were saved there. You are now being sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit within you, which is to conform you to the image of Jesus so that you look like Jesus Christ. And the world can see Jesus through you. Now, think about that gift. The Word of God, written by the Spirit of God, is transformed into your heart by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who wrote the book is the Spirit that lives in your heart. Hey, you can't lose. The Spirit of God dwells within you. But you got to follow and to be searching in the right places with the right heavenly leadership. Also, as you look at that passage, you see that they rejoiced. And I really think we ought to have fun as believers. There's nothing wrong with fun. Now, some people want to stick with amusement. Now, the word amuse means not to think. And I know a lot of people try to have fun without thinking. They end up in an emergency room because their four-wheeler turned over on them, you know, or something like that. You know, they just forget to think. We have those kind of things that happen. But there's nothing wrong with having the joy of Christ, exhibiting that joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. We sing it, but is it ours? These men, the Bible says, they rejoiced when they saw the star leading them. So they had the right leadership, and I would say they had the right laughter. Nothing wrong with laughing. Now, the Bible says laughter is the best medicine, Proverbs. So there's nothing wrong with that. So we see them unfolding this all as they search. They're seeking for Christ. They're searching. Didn't find it in human places. They're looking in heavenly places. And the scripture tells us that as they came to the house and went into the house, they saw the babe and Mary his mother. The word saw is, again, not only did they see with their eyes, but the word saw means to perceive in one's heart. And these wise men recognized that this King of the Jews that they had come to worship and followed the star from the east to get to, this King of the Jews that lay in that manger, that lay in that room, that lay in wherever it was that he was then with Mary, his mother. That was the King. Above everything else, he was to be honored. Above everything else, he was to be worshipped. The Bible tells us that when they asked Herod about Jesus, they said this: we have come to worship him. The word is proskuo in a Greek language, which means absolutely nothing to most of us. But the idea is it means to bow totally before, to have your face in the dirt, before Jesus Christ because you know you're standing in such a holy presence that you fall before the Lord. You know how grateful you are. You know how wonderful it is. We put up our Christmas tree sometime this last week. It all runs together. But we put it up and we put up some stuff on the mantle and got everything kind of ready and Christmassy. And one of the things I really like to do is to just at the end of the day sit down in a recliner with no other lights on except the Christmas lights and just reflect on the goodness of God. Listen, God's been good to us. Do you know that there are people in the world that have not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you understand that even as your pastor left to be a church planter in Toronto, that 97% of the people there have never heard or have nothing to do with Jesus Christ? Have you ever asked yourself the question, why was I able to hear? And the kid in Romania is not able to hear. Why was I able to know about Jesus and have people tell me about Jesus? And the migrant worker in Mexico has never yet had the opportunity to hear about it. I don't know that, but I know this. We are blessed beyond measure to have that in our life and in our hearts. And so we look at those things as we go forward. So we see, as you search for satisfaction, it's related to what you seek. Are you seeking after Christ this holiday season? We also see that as we search for satisfaction, it's going to be found in where you search. But then the last two verses of our text tell us one more fact. The search for satisfaction is also directly related to how you share. Verse 11 says, they saw the young child, they fell down and worshiped him. They surrendered to him. They saw him, perceiving that he was King of the Jews, that he was worthy of honor, that he was worthy of praise, that he was worthy of worship, and they worshiped him. They surrendered to him as they bowed in worship before him. The scripture says they presented to him gifts, a sharing of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and that's another sermon for another time. But it showed all of the elements of life and death itself, the beauty and the purity and the pricelessness of all the things that are a part of a person's life. And the scripture also tells us in verse 12 that they served. And you say, where do you see that they served? I want you to look at verse 12. It says, being warned. Being warned in a dream. They did not go back the same way. What happened was, there was a warning, a divine warning, not to go back to Herod and report to him, but to go in a different direction. Leave Herod hanging. It may be politically incorrect. It may be not prosperous for you to do that, but leave Herod hanging because there's something beyond that that you need to do. And don't tell Herod this story. And they go in another direction. And as I think about that, I think about the sharing of Christmas. I think about all the things we're supposed to do. As we look at our nation, as we look at our family, as we look at our towns and our communities, as we look at the Xmas instead of the Christmas, as we look at all of the things that take away the truth of Christmas, which is Jesus born for the redemption of men, do we as individuals get caught in that trap of weak recollection of Jesus and maybe a reading of the Luke 2 passage before we hand out the gifts and that's the end of our Christmas as far as spiritually goes? I hope not. Because here it says these men shared with Jesus And they went back a different way, changed by Jesus. By their encounter with Jesus Christ, they would not be the same. Their search for satisfaction began in the east with a star. It went through all the human channels, no satisfaction. But it went through the heavenly channels, satisfaction to the utmost. And they went away differently, in a different manner. Jeff Clawson wrote a book called My Christmas Memories. And he wrote this about his first Christmas after he met Jesus. The first year I was a Christian brought a newfound special time for me and my family, truly knowing the true meaning of Christmas and the reason we celebrate it. I really thought it was about gifts and decorations. I now know the meaning, and it means more to me than any present I could ever give or ever receive. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is the reason for the holiday. I am a different person. I am thankful for my salvation. This is a wonderful, cherished memory, one that gets better and more special every passing year. God bless and happy holidays. Our God reigns. Does the Lord Jesus reign in your heart? Or is the babe missing from the manger? Could you say, I am satisfied? As you sit here, are you satisfied with the fact that you are searching in the right places? You're seeking the right things? You're sharing the right message? Or have you been caught up in the world's way of doing it? As we begin this December, this holiday season, would you with me just rethink that so we can know who's the center and what the center of Christmas is supposed to be about? Could you look to see if we're searching, even struggling for satisfaction in the wrong places? Has some person, some problem, some possession become your Christmas goal? And Jesus has somehow taken a back seat? As we close, I will share this story with you. About 3 years ago, the decor committee of Longview Heights Baptist Church got ready to do and put up all the Christmas decorations. And they do it on the Sunday afternoon, the first Sunday afternoon in December or the last Sunday afternoon in November. As they did that, they hung all the everything around the church that needed to be hung. And we had a big manger scene that sat down in front of the pulpit. It had everything that was supposed to be there, the shepherds, the wise men, donkeys, whatever. If you're in Kyrgyzstan, you'll be a dog in it, but that's another story. I don't know why either. But the idea is at that scene in front of our church was a manger. And the chairman, one of our deacons, who was the chairman of the decor committee, deliberately did not put the babe in the manger. He told me the next week, he said, Brother Wayne, I've got it. I know where it is. Don't have people start looking for it. I just want to know how long it will take before somebody will ask me where the babe in the manger is. Do you know he was never asked during the holidays? He was never asked. You say, well, if people weren't down close, they wouldn't know that the babe wasn't there. Well, you got to understand, there's a lot of people walk back and forth. I don't know why wouldn't ask. But you know what? In the manger scene of our heart this morning, I ask you a question. Is Jesus there? Or are we having all the trimmings and missing the truth? Is Jesus Christ the center of your holiday celebrations? And if you have to say no, then this is a good time to rethink it. It's just the 1st of December. You've got this month to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to share Him with others, to seek after Him, to search in heavenly places as you go through all of the activities of your church and Christmas. You go through all the activities of your family. You go through all of the many things that are a part of the Christmas holidays. Is Jesus the centrality? Does he bring you the satisfaction? Or are you trying to find it somewhere else? Are you missing it because of the busyness? Or are you overlooking him because of the stress? We all have those things. The question is, what do we do with them? If you're here this morning, and as you sit there, you're not 100% sure of knowing Jesus as your Savior. The babe of the manger grew up and died on a cross for the redemption of man, to solve your sin problem and my sin problem. By repentance and faith, you can have a new Christmas like this man had, Jeffrey Clausen. A new start in Christ Jesus this Christmas. If you're here this morning and somehow you've gotten off track and you're moving in a direction that's not where you need to be with the centrality of satisfaction found in Jesus Christ, then today is a good day to make sure you let the Lord Jesus refocus you on the things that are most important. As we think about that, I'm going to pray together. We're going to have a time of decision. And we're going to invite you to come. Brother Tim will be here in front to welcome you. If you need to pray, the altar will be open just for you to spend time in prayer. You may have a loved one who's struggling through the holiday season. You want to just pray for them. Please do that. Have the freedom to just do whatever the Lord would lead you to do. Lord Jesus, use these moments, we pray. Let your word sink to deep in our hearts, speak to our deepest points of need this very morning, and be honored and glorified even as we decide and make decisions and make confessions before you of who we are and what we need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand. The music starts. If you need to come, slip out from where you are. Come. Talk to this one of our deacons here at the front. We'll talk with you. Come and pray however the Lord would have you to. As the music starts, you come.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive, come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive as the Lord.
Thank you so much for the opportunity of sharing God's word with you this morning. Thank you for your listening spirits and your listening hearts, and I praise the Lord for that. Look forward to see how God puts this all together for you as your new pastor is called and comes in to be a part of you and where God takes you next. It'll be exciting to watch, and I appreciate that so very much. Brother Timmy, whoever's supposed to end up, I'll just let y'all have that back, and we'll go from there. All right.
I thought you were leaving that for me. Okay. As for announcements, you have your bulletins. You can see a lot of the upcoming things, but I do advise you to come back tonight for the Hanging of the Green service. This is something that we do every year where we will put up the decorations. You will see the decorum come up here in the church, and we will have a time of caroling, a time of worship, and I invite you all to be back here tonight for that. Am I missing any vital?
Next Sunday night after the service, we'll be bringing the tree in for the same Christmas tree to be erected on Monday the 9th. Anybody that wants to help, we'd greatly appreciate you getting in and be here Monday afternoon, Monday evening around 4 o'clock. We're going to try to start putting it together and have it ready for them to start decorating on Tuesday.
Many hands make for light work. This time, we need the
sensible part. And thank you, Dr. Clark, for his wife being here with us this morning.
Ah, you pushed it.
Good morning. I have the Sunday School report. This week we started our new quarter in Sunday School. We're going to be studying Numbers and Deuteronomy. And during the next 12 weeks, we will learn why it took the Israelites 40 years to make an 11-day trip. So, also, we'll learn more about following and knowing God's will in our lives. If you don't come to Sunday School, I hope you will think about it and start coming. Today, we had 92 members and two visitors in Sunday School for a 94 total.
Final announcement for my students. I see a few in the back. We do have our Christmas party coming up on the 20th, and that will be here at Trinity. So make sure you have friends come. If you have any grandchildren or any youth age people in your family, they are invited to the church. We are having our Christmas party. I believe that is all the announcements. So let's join hands and sing our party chorus.
Oh, how He loves you and me.